The White House is creating a new cyber threat intelligence center, but the administration says it will not duplicate other cyber programs in the federal government. The goal is to add more coordination to the federal cybersecurity process. Bill Rowan is vice president of federal business for VMware and my guest on Industry Chatter today, and looking at and writing and talking about the differences and importances of importances, Bill, of structure versus people when it comes to technology in the federal government. It's great to have you here. Thank you for coming in today. Before we get started, give me the thumbnail of what VMware does for customers in the federal space.
So VMware is obviously a software technology company based out of Palo Alto, California. In fact, we're the second largest employer in Palo Alto outside of Stanford University. But VMware has been on the leading edge of really what the cloud technology is and what people talk about the cloud. We started off as a straight virtualization company, virtualizing servers and applications, and we've grown there to offer customers a complete suite of whether they're building out an infrastructure internally, as they would be in a federal agency or in a Fortune 1000, but also offering them a cloud hosting services, much like you see the Microsofts, the Googles, and the Amazons of this world. We see ourselves as focusing primarily on the corporation and that it gets the most out of its IT infrastructure, and that may be from both a infrastructure level in the data center all the way to solutions to support customers' mobile devices, cell phones, smartphones, tablets, that sort of thing.
So what I was struck by in some of the interviews and articles that I've seen your quotes and so on in is the fact that you talk as much about the people part of producing results as the technology part. And we chatted about that a little bit before we went on the air. But I think, especially for folks that come from technology companies, a lot of times the conversation kind of defaults to technology solutions, and we kind of lose track of the people part of it and how necessary that is. You find that to be the case too?
It absolutely positively is. I think that, you know, so often initiatives that we read about in the paper that an agency's undertaking, or for that matter, even in the commercial enterprise space, is that they take on these massive projects and there's huge investments in technology and infrastructure, everything from new servers, routers, desktops, and applications. But very rarely do we talk about at the very beginning about how is the people part of this going to change. Now, we talk a lot about training, and that's fantastic. But very often there are process changes that need to be made such that organizations can take advantage of those. And there's a number of analogies that probably work here. But, you know, if you always were used to driving a pickup truck and someone all of a sudden upgraded you to a Volkswagen, but you treated the Volkswagen the exact same way you treated the pickup truck, the reality is you're probably going to get a lot different results than what you thought you were going to get, both from a fuel perspective, carrying things around, et cetera. So the people part is probably something that takes a lot more time and focus. And the interesting piece that I think we have found, and it's interesting because government matches pretty much commercial industry, is that we saw as customers started to move down the path of building out their own private clouds, whether that was virtualizing their server layer or what have you initially, or desktops, they would get to about 40% of the way there. And then they found they came to a dead stop and they really couldn't move beyond it because the processes hadn't changed enough to allow the mass adoption. They spend some time working on those process changes and then all of a sudden they take off yet again. So there's an ROI piece that comes about early on, there's a slowdown, and then there's another ROI piece. Mm-hmm. And I think that we find that more and more today becoming the reality versus more of an afterthought. So I think agencies are doing a much better job of looking at that piece. You know, one of the other areas I think that is interesting to look back on, for years and years and years, the Department of Defense was very good about giving its big defense contractors feedback on those systems. Of course, one of the more famous ones is the Patriot missile system and what it was designed initially to do and what it ended up being used operationally in the Middle East in terms of protection against Scud missiles. That was never the reason that platform was designed. But customers gave feedback and the company was able to tweak the applications and the software such that it could fill that next mission requirement. Mm-hmm. And we see a lot more of that happening these days too, is that we're getting the feedback from the customers as they're going through a lot of their process change work. which is ultimately making the applications much easier to use, which means we're increasing the ROI and we're seeing much more widespread adoption.
There's a potential downside to that ongoing feedback and interaction, though, and that is what is known in the Defense Department as requirements creep, and other civilian agencies see that too. What ways have you seen both the agency and the vendor avoid that and keep that on the right side of that balance of this is a healthy exchange and we're going to help the customer succeed more and not we're going to add on bells and whistles because either we come up with them or the customer decides they want them?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think scope creep is one of those things that has existed as long as there's been projects out there to undertake. And we all know, even at our own home, if we're doing a little remodeling, painting, or what have you, it's or recarpeting. Where does it stop? Where do I draw a line and say I can't do anymore? And the unfortunate part is that it's going to a lot of times come back to good project and program management. I think that very often we become enamored with the shiny toy and what the shiny toy can bring us. And the reality of the situation is the shiny toy, there always will be another net new shiny toy. But if you continue to evolve in this scope creep type perspective, you'll never get a chance to play with the toy. All you'll keep doing is modifying the system because it continues to look better and better and better. And I think that as an industry, we're seeing a lot more focus on customers, and again, this is probably across both government and enterprise, where they're looking more closely at the money they're spending and having better awareness, both from the vendor and the customer working closely together, say, listen, we're getting into a point in time where you're going to burn through all the monies that were available to do this project because we keep making the toy shinier.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is we have plenty of good stuff here. Let's go ahead with the implementation. Let's see the ROI, and then let's take that next spiral phased approach.
Yeah, the challenge is that at some point somebody has to say either we don't need that or you don't need that. It's got to come from one side of the equation or the other.
And I think that the part that, you know, going back to our very first point about the process change piece, I think that customers are anxious, and especially we've seen clearly seen many of directives and mandates both within from Congress to agencies and then from the from individual agency CIOs that say we need to make this leap. And if you look at the Defense Department, closure of data center consolidation, et cetera, and those pieces that have been mandated by the NDAA, I think what you'll find is that more often than not today, IT leadership wants to be able to raise their hand, declare victory, and say, I accomplished X, Y, and Z. Now let me move to the next phase.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's actually working a lot better than it has passed. Now, the other part, too, to be fair, is the bigger these projects are, the more scope creep that can come into them. And I think that's another thing government's gotten much better about is condensing down the projects. Let's make them bite-sized. Let's make them manageable and watch them in a period of time and move on to the next phase.
Yeah, it seems that agile development accomplishes two things in that area. First of all, it gives you a chance to say, we have this capability. This all works, as you talked about a moment ago. Enjoy some ROI mm-hmm. and figure out where you want to go next. And then you also have that advantage of, instead of having to wait for the next spiral, you can, whatever the next little module is or whatever terminology you want to use, you can go back to it, and that's where you can add in whatever upgrades you decide you want.
Without a doubt. I think, you know, one of the things that gets missed so often in the discussion around how IT has changed and how consumers are looking at it, agile development is one of those underlying, doesn't get the press that other shiny toys, to my earlier example, get. But it's absolutely positively played a role because of that ability to say, hey, we're ready to go with this piece. Let's move out. Let's accomplish something and then move to the next phase of the project.
Well, and consumerization, it seems to me, is pushing itself into your market, into the GovCon market, because just the mentality of it, the idea that, you know, here's my quick little story. I have the 2012 version of the Google Nexus 7 tablet, and they released an upgrade for the operating system, and it stunk. And enough people complained that they released a patch to it, essentially. I was one of the people that complained in the best way that I knew how to do it. But enough people know now that if you make enough noise, the vendor will do something about it.
Absolutely.
And I imagine you hear that all the time. Maybe people aren't complaining loudly to you, but they're saying, huh, well, this is something else that we could do, this that this could be done better if you are able to provide that service.
But, you know, it's interesting. My perspective is customers are very good at venting their concerns and or maybe frustrations that things aren't looking and working exactly like they thought they would. And they rightly so. Mm-hmm. They're making an investment. They're spending money. This is not what we thought. I think to your point, we are seeing that. And, you know, it's interesting how much commercialization is driving into the marketplace. We see it on a regular basis. People in government, in their private lives, they have smartphones, they have tablets, they have another layer of productivity they're using in their personal lives, and they become frustrated because all those pieces don't map exactly into their business or their mission, well, mission life. And that's understandable. I mean, and the other part, too, is we assume a certain level of risk at home when using those devices and open Wi-Fi or what have you. And those some things that government can't take those risks. And so a lot of these systems are considerably more locked down than they might be for your own personal use. But I think that that feedback loop and us ability to go back and change, and as an anecdotal story, VMware about 2 years ago came out with one of its offerings, and we had specifically modeled it to the industry from a certain way to pay for it. And industry came back very, very quickly. Our customers came back and said, we don't like it, and here's why. And within about 7 months, the entire process was gone. We went back to the old process. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that customers share that information. It's more important that industry listen proactively and do what we can to help resolve those pieces.
Another communications issue you brought up at the very beginning of our conversation, and that is just that the feedback loop is getting louder and more robust between agencies and vendors. We've got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to explore maybe what you think the reasons behind that might be, because that's something that has agencies have been working on for a long time. Bill Rowan of VMware is my guest on Industry Chatter today. Back in a minute on Federal News Radio. Welcome back to In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. Bill Rowan of VMware is my guest on Industry Chatter today. And before the break, we were talking about the communications network between industry and government. And you mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, Bill, that you are encouraged by what you're seeing in the communications loop. Dan Gordon started MythBusters when he was at OFPP to try to encourage more dialogue between industry and government. And it got Joe Jordan pushed it also, and Ann Rung's talked about that relationship also since she's been there. There's been a general sense, though, that it hasn't trickled down a whole lot. And your comments are probably the most optimistic that I've heard about how that relationship is going. What do you think is driving or motivating agencies to want to communicate with industry more and be willing to be to put themselves out there more? Because a lot of the reason that folks think that communication was tough for a long time was just risk aversion.
Well, I think that you hit the nail on the head a little bit of the other area we talked about prior to the break. In their personal lives, they're very apt to give that feedback to something that's not working as they thought it would. I don't like this version of software, et cetera. At the same time, we've kind of gone through this transformation as agencies have moved much more to a cloud computing type environment internally or externally. They're looking at ways to bring mobility into as a part. And so there's been a lot more interaction with the vendors than there have before, at both an executive level and a lower level. Mm-hmm. And some of these are startup companies coming off the West Coast or the East Coast. And we're asking for feedback. Tell us how you think. Does it work well? Does it not work well? Customers have gotten better about it before they go through big projects. Let's bring me in. Let's do a proof of concept. Let's prove out exactly what we think we're going to be able to accomplish and then spiral it back out from there. So I think a lot of those types of initiatives, in my view, have really improved the communication that we're seeing. And in fact, it's opened up new dialogues. I think as we've seen some of the younger people in the workforce, both government and in contractors who are helping customers, they're very used to that. Millennials, mm-hmm. very used to giving their feedback about this is working, this is not working. Uh-huh. And so that dialogue continuing to improve, I think only makes the process better over time. Is it across the board? It's not. But the point here is we see it in every single agency, I would tell you. I think we're seeing a better sense of communication, a more open. I'm not worried about disclosing a necessary requirement that I feel will OCI someone. I'm more interested to understand what's the art of the possible. How do I get from here to there? And what are the major steps and milestones I have to take along the way?
And that's exactly the concept that I wonder about the most, is how far back, how early in the process you can push that dialogue to the point where the agencies are asking you and your colleagues at other companies, is this even possible? This is what we want to accomplish, and we haven't done an RFI. We haven't done anything about it. We're just wondering. We're brainstorming, and we're going to ask everybody that we can think of, because we want to be fair to everybody. But if we wanted to do this, how do you think we would go about doing that? Are those kinds of things happening now, or is it still primarily happening through the formal process?
I still think we see, you know, we still have the industry days around a big program, and, you know, one person after another will get up and present, and then it'll be a room full of people, half from retired government, the other half contractors looking to increase their work. So we're going to continue to see those sort of things. But I do believe we're seeing a much more open communication form of, we think this would be really cool to do, and we think we could drive some real savings and efficiencies and internal agility within our agency or department. Is this possible to do? And a lot of times the questions are not so much of how do we go out and go buy that as a service or from someone else. It's how do we link together what we've already invested in? Mm-hmm. Because we see the possibilities in some of these systems. And that certainly is probably more the discussion. Then the follow-on discussion becomes, well, if we get there, what if these systems are now overlapping that we no longer need to care for? And that gets back to that whole transformation point we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. You can't be stuck of, well, I've always used this tool to do that.
Yeah.
Well, that's great, but we can automate a lot of those processes and you don't have to. So we'll use your brain power to go over and talk about this. You know, an old customer of mine, Lieutenant General Ron Hawkins up at DISA, when he was the CIO at Pacific Air Force back years ago, he used to use the term R2O, resource reallocation opportunity. And I think that's a perfect way to look at a lot of this, is how do I take the resources I use today as I go through this modernization, as I go through this change in my organization, and repurpose those, because I've still got other issues out there. Mm-hmm. How do I go repurpose those to tackle those other issues?
Is that really where you expect to see? I'm not talking about growth, dollar growth. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about, I guess, conceptual growth or existential growth in the GovCon world in the coming years. For the companies that will succeed will be the companies that get really good at helping agencies repurpose.
I think so. I think because, you know, if you look at it, agencies are going to be tight with cash for any number of years in the future. There'll never be enough money to solve the problem. So the question becomes, how do we get the most out of the investments in infrastructure that have already been made? How do we optimize and utilize those for as many years down the path? Now, at some point in time, it'll become diminishing returns, but a tremendous amount can be accomplished. I think additionally to that, we have a tremendous amount of institutional knowledge inside of some of these agencies. And how do we take those people off the patch panel who are trying to fix and fight fires every single day inside their organization and allow them to use their brain power for future change piece? That to me is the part where I know, at least from us as a company, where we're placing our bets is that we think we can help customers make that transformation. Mm-hmm. And in course of making that transformation, allow them to continue to repurpose and build out over the future. Might there be some additional adds here and there? Without a doubt, there will be. But I still think we'll have quite a great way to go from where we are.
We're almost out of time, but you used a term earlier that I find fascinating, and that's the term modernization. What do you think modernization looks like a year from now or 2 years from now or 5 years from now in the GovCon space?
Well, it's probably a little bit difficult. You know, I used the term earlier, the shiny toy, mm-hmm. and there will always be another shiny toy. There'll be one out next week, probably later today, from some vendor. I think the modernization is much more of a spiraling effect, and we talked about that kind of concept earlier, is that agencies will always have the ability to modernize their infrastructure, not because they haven't invested really well, not because they haven't made very good decisions, because there's a constant influx of different types of applications, different types of systems, hardware systems, different types of networking systems, and mobile devices, et cetera, that will make their lives easier. They'll make them more responsive to the public, mm-hmm. make them easier to do their jobs, will add automation to those processes. And so, unfortunately, modernization is never the concept of, well, we modernized last year, we're done for 3 years.
Uh-huh.
Unfortunately, that I don't see that concept really ever coming back. I think it's going to be a constant ongoing. And agencies, the neat part is that with the advances that have come about, agencies will get a chance and a decision to say, this is how much we want to modernize this year or over the next 18 months, and here are our top 4 or 5 projects. And if done smartly, they should be able to generate some savings from those to pay for the other next 2 or 3 things that are on the list.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can accomplish that, I think what we'll do is we'll drive up productivity significantly. We'll add much more automation, decrease the number of self-inflicted wounds when someone inadvertently hits a keystroke or pulls a cable. I think we'll give our cyber and posture considerable strength from those types of pieces. And I think that overall we'll have a much more happier and excited workforce in the federal IT space.
Mm-hmm.
And from a vendor's perspective, we look forward to those kind of days. We're looking to embrace that time.
So in your space, then, the value add for a company like yours, it seems to me one of the biggest ones will be helping the agencies determine what those 1 through 5 priorities should be in order to pull the ROI out and be able to deploy it to the next thing. I mean, and that
absolutely
gets back to the kind of the repurposing thing we talked
absolutely
about, I guess.
Absolutely. And I think that what the interesting customers, the ones that we see that have been the most advanced and are being able to drive that. And in turn, the other part too that we didn't get a chance to hit upon was the amount of agencies that are talking to other agencies. How did you go about doing that? What were the steps you took?
Because mm-hmm.
we've got a lot of the same technology that you've got. How did you make that first step? And the sharing that's going on back and forth, I know whether it's between different service branches of the DOD or whether you're talking about one civilian agency talking to defense or DHS, et cetera, we see a lot more of that sharing going on about what they can do. And I think, to be fair, social media has had a big play in that part. You know, agencies are not afraid. Every agency's got a Facebook account. Every agency's got a Twitter account. Every agency's willing to go out and share, here's how we're going about accomplishing a lot
mm-hmm.
of these sort of things.
It does certainly seem to be generational. It seems to be that the folks that are in this business now on the government side are more willing to say, I want to learn from how my colleague at Department of whatever did it, rather than you've seen this a lot throughout your career. We're the Department of whatever, and what we do this particular application completely different than everybody else does it, and so there's not really a lesson for us to learn
from
somebody else.
The GOTS world is really slowing down.
Yeah.
They're learning how do we take commercial off-the-shelf technology and utilize it to the best person. If somebody else has already invented the wheel, I don't want to go back out and reinvent it. How do I take what they've done, maybe tweak it a little bit for my agency or my organization, my department, and utilize that to the greatest extent possible?
Are we going to see that accelerate in the coming years, probably, because of the budget?
I think so. I think the budget, it's interesting how much the budget drives, and certainly that sounds like the most obvious statement of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there's a renewed scrutiny on how we spent money in the past, have we done it efficiently? From an IT perspective, there's certainly a long list of programs that have been on the front page of the Washington Post or whatever, that they haven't been successful as they can be. And agencies are leery of that, and companies are leery because they don't want to have their name associated with that. So again, we take that kind of bite smaller, continue to kind of crawl, walk, run type approach. But the more information sharing they're making back and forth, the more pitfalls they're finding that other people have gone through, and they're ensuring they don't run through those same sort of situations themselves.